This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school.
Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking, as always, with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Great to be back in the studios.
Well, thank you. Welcome back. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm just sailing along here in the semester.
Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving break?
I am, which means that I'm going to the gym far more than I normally do to try to be able to have extra pecan pie, which is just awful.
You know? Does campus get pretty quiet, I'm imagining?
It does. Almost everyone leaves. We have some folks, we have some international students, and some folks who live a little further away from home out of state who are not joining friends. And they'll hang out on campus, and often I'll actually connect with them. And not on Thanksgiving Day, but during that break period, just to kind of give them some food and give them some sustenance. And so it's a quiet time, but also you can feel the end of the semester is upon us. And that's always a kind of a bittersweet thing. But I think for most people, they see it as sweet.
Yeah, just getting past finals.
And exactly.
And then there's a break.
They're thankful for that.
Well, it does seem like a good time seasonally to talk about gratitude.
Oh, I love this subject. Good.
And, you know, the role that gratitude plays in education, because I'm thinking that often when students or faculty or staff are in the moment, gratitude is not necessarily what they feel. They may feel frustration. They may feel exhaustion. You know, I think sometimes the gratitude comes later.
That's right.
But in the moment or in that particular class or assignment, what they feel is, I am not grateful for this experience.
I was talking to my class the other day, and, you know, this is the effective thinking through creative puzzle solving. And so they're working on these puzzles. And it was so neat that the students, you know, are very comfortable sharing their emotions with me. And one of them was saying, you know, I said, how did you feel working on these puzzles? And one student said, I was really, really frustrated, and I was getting so mad. And I said, well, who or what were you getting mad at? The puzzles, me, whatever. I was getting mad at the puzzles. I was getting mad at all the people around me who were making noise, and I couldn't think about the puzzles. I was mad at you for writing the book. So that was interesting. And then someone else was saying that at one point she started screaming in her residence hall, and actually another student there attested to that and said, yeah, I'm two doors down. I heard her scream, and just because of frustration. And what I suggested was, what if that frustration actually ended up being a kind of a positive? And what if we became grateful for being frustrated as a state? The truth is, I think that gratitude is such a powerful mindset to move us in a positive direction. And you're absolutely right, Jennifer, and as my students have just attested to, it's hard in the moment to always be grateful. It's like you're being forced to run a marathon. You really don't want to run it. You'd rather rest. But the teacher or if we're out of school, the project is forcing you to do that. If we can embrace gratitude and be thankful for any aspect of life or any aspect of one's work, it uplifts us. And it allows us to be more creative, to be more innovative, to see things more clearly, to look for opportunities and potential. And the science has shown, and in fact, I read an article just a month or so ago that was talking about the power of gratitude as a way of practicing mindfulness. So we've talked about mindfulness a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of my class. It's very hard for people to do, especially young people, especially students. Who are so busy, like you were saying, they don't even have time to take a moment to just be still. But gratitude is a great way to do that. If you just write someone a thank you note, if you pick up a pen and a piece of paper and just thank someone for something, small or large, could be a family member, could be your teacher, could be a coworker, could be a friend, and it could be just, thanks so much for letting me vent to you the other day. It really helped. Thanks so much. You know, thanks, Jennifer. And I give that to you. first of all, it's such a nice thing to you. It uplifts you as the receiver. But as the writer, it actually uplifts the individual. And so it's a great way to practice mindfulness and allow us to embrace the anxiety and frustration and the negative things and turn them into positives.
Well, in those moments of frustration, those negative moments, those moments of exhaustion or whatever, those are also often the learning,
of course,
moments. And yes, we can certainly all be grateful for opportunities that teach us and show us something, even if they don't feel that great.
In the abstract, that's correct. But you've got to do that with intentionality. And you've got to say, I'm going to intentionally acknowledge the fact that I'm hitting a brick wall here, which means that if I keep, you know, practicing effective thinking, I will eventually either break down the wall or get on the other side of the wall. And so that gives me hope. But while you're frustrated, if you don't intentionally have that thought, you will remain frustrated and be in a negative state, which will, it will inhibit those opportunities.
That makes me think that perhaps, you know, I'm thinking that gratitude then is almost something that you could teach. I mean, you could help students learn to kind of reframe that thinking so that when they hit a metaphorical brick wall or they have a frustrating moment, they certainly have the feelings, because we've talked before about the importance of that.
Right.
But then they also follow that with, okay, so what's going on here? What am I learning? What's happening? Let me sort of catch my breath instead of just keeping sort of yelling and screaming.
That's right. And to me, that's mindfulness. That's being in the moment, right? Acknowledging exactly where you are and not just the emotional state, but where am I from a kind of, where am I right now? And I think the more mindful we are, the more open we are to do exactly that. But that's hard. And I'm not suggesting that's easy. But if we can begin to, and that's why it's a practice and not a habit. If we can practice that even just slightly, I mean, in my class, they're just working on these silly puzzles. But over time, then they begin to start failing and understanding more deeply and creating questions. They start taking on these practices and they get themselves unstuck. And that's what you want to do.
Well, and right now that strikes me sort of in our culture and society these days as truly a countercultural,
yes,
endeavor. And by that, I mean, it seems more in vogue to kind of scream and yell and get mad and frustrated and kind of stop there, or just get more mad and more frustrated without that sort of reflective next step of, okay, so what do I do with that? It seems like that's kind of where everybody is stuck.
It's the path of least resistance, because it's easy just to say, well, that's it. I'm throwing it in. I'm throwing in the towel. Well, great. Anyone can throw in the towel. Can you persevere? And that's harder and requires some real sensitivity, and it requires some mindfulness to push through those emotions. But if we practice that, and if we intentionally think about it that way, we can make progress. But it's much easier to just throw in the towel.
All right, so speaking of
throwing in the towel.
Well, I was going to say speaking of practice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I tried.
But I'll go with throwing in the towel,
too. I tried to get the segue.
I appreciate that. It's time for the puzzler.
Someone shared a very fun visual one for me.
So, oh, good. Okay.
As always, radio is the theater of the mind.
Yes.
So I'm going to create a visual. I want you to take out a piece of paper,
okay,
because you will grade how well I will describe,
okay,
this visual,
okay,
for our listeners.
All right.
So you're going to basically be the listeners and to make,
okay,
sure if I get this right.
All right.
So just, no, don't draw, listen first, okay? So this involves 8 matchsticks. So
okay,
imagine 8 matchsticks, okay?
Okay.
And so let me say this once and then start drawing. Imagine taking 4 of them and creating a square. But now I want you to have the square kind of along its diagonal. So it's not going to be like regular shaped. It's kind of like a diamond-shaped thing. Do you follow,
okay,
me?
I do.
Okay, so now draw the square that's kind of has its diagonal, you know, vertical and,
okay,
horizontal.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's doing it perfectly. Excellent.
Okay.
Okay. So now you've got this diamond square.
Diamond, okay, square, 4 matchsticks.
And we have 4 matchsticks left over.
Okay.
And now I'm going to tell you how to proceed.
Okay.
These matchsticks are going to be put on the outside of the square. So take a look at the upper left matchstick.
Okay.
And I want you to extend that matchstick, the upper left matchstick,
yep,
and extend it up. So that's exactly it. So,
like
put a matchstick there. So put a matchstick right there. Exactly.
Okay.
Now put a matchstick on the kind of parallel to that on the lower But parallel. No, I'm sorry. On the upper side.
Oh, upper side. Right here.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So now what we basically have is almost two squares next to each other.
Almost.
But with a side missing.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Now I want you to do the exact same thing, but with kind of a 90-degree angle from the matchstick you just put in.
So matchstick here.
Right.
So that
comes straight
on
out.
Which end?
Yeah. On the square end. On the square
this
end. Yes. So come out.
So 90 degrees would be like that.
So now what she just did was she put on the lower right, on the upper right side, she extended the upper right side a little bit.
Like this.
The upper right side.
Did
exactly.
I do that correctly?
Exactly.
Okay.
Correct. And then finally, now take a look at the lower left. And extend that to the right.
Okay, so lower left would
and
come
extend
this
that
way.
Exactly. So go now, right, and now you added four more matchsticks.
Yes.
And if you notice, it looks like a little catfish.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
So now we've built a catfish by looking at a square that's kind of on its diagonal, so it's like a diamond shaped thing, and then we extended kind of the little whiskers, if you will,
here,
the tail, two
here's
of them make
the
tail.
Yeah.
And then the little whiskers on the sides.
Okay.
Okay, I wonder if anyone else got that, but you got it at least.
All right, I'm with you.
Now here's
what?
The challenge.
So
you have eight matchsticks there.
Yep.
You need to move just three matchsticks so that the fish is now swimming in the opposite direction. Right now, your fish is swimming fish is swimming to the left. I want your fish to swim to the right, and you're only allowed to move three matchsticks. And there's no overlapping. You can't cheat. They have to touch edge to edge.
So you can only move...
Move three matchsticks.
Three.
And you have to have the fish swimming the other way. Right now, the fish is swimming to the left.
Yeah.
You want to have the fish swimming to the right.
I can see...
If there's any listener who has actually been able to draw this thing correctly, please email us because we should give them a prize.
This is really cool.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's,
the hard part is drawing the thing. Visually, it's easy. If I could just show you the picture, it's easy.
That's so interesting. Okay, so I've got my catfish swimming to the left. I will work on my catfish.
See, here's the fancy picture of it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Have fun with that. It's a kind of a Thanksgiving one because, you know, some people don't want to eat turkey on Thanksgiving.
Right.
And so now you can think about fish.
You can do, a catfish or some other.
A catfish Thanksgiving. So, a very catfish Thanksgiving.
So now I can't take my eyes off the picture because I'm sort of trying to figure out. So I'm going to turn it over so that I'm not still looking at it.
It is your catfish.
Well,
and that doesn't count, by the way, in having it swim the other way. Turning it over and swimming the other way, that does
not
count.
I can't just flip the piece of
paper? You have to move three
matchsticks.
So no cheating. I know our listeners well enough now. They're so sneaky.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's actually...
Put it in a mirror or something.
Yeah.
That is not allowed.
So, Ed, as we wrap up our discussion about gratitude and expressing gratitude, one thing that's occurring to me is I think that expressing gratitude is hard. I think...
Yes.
People get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it's awkward for some people. We don't do it as much as we should. I think those awkward feelings sometimes get in the way. Maybe that's just me observing.
No, I think that's right. It's also a vulnerability. And we don't like being vulnerable. We don't like to put our feelings and our heart on our sleeves. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that we are human. And to embrace our humanity is a great gift to ourselves and to others. And one way to embrace our humanity is to show appreciation and to express gratitude. And so it is awkward and it is hard, but it's because we make ourselves vulnerable and we show our human side. That, which in some sense is one of our defining traits, is something that makes it challenging. And therefore, we should embrace it oh so much more.
Well, thank you, Ed, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of our listeners.
Yes, everybody, enjoy your holiday. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can read more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at kut.org. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.